Okay, open your Bibles up to 2 John chapter 4. Second John verse 4. There's only one chapter. It's 2 John, verse 4. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. Now, this is a commandment to walk in truth. See, here's the thing. Every time you get a revelation from God, you're going to have a new truth. You're going to have something that you know, and you hang on to that, and you walk in that. That's kind of like, you know, Jesus said, let your light so shine before men. So every time you get a revelation from God, you basically get another light. It just gets brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. And here's the thing. Don't discourage somebody if they only have a few lights. You know, sometimes people get born again, and that's all they know. That's all they know. Help them shine their light. You know, encourage them. Encourage them. Help them learn a new thing. But don't make somebody feel bad because they only have a little bit of revelation and you have a whole bunch. That's not right. Take some of the revelation you got and share it with them. Lift them up. Pick them up. Help them out. Bring them forward. Now, we must separate. This is very important. We must separate what we have learned with our five natural senses. These may be facts. They may be natural facts. But what God said is the truth. And truth always outweighs the facts. We have to be able to separate those. The fact, the natural facts may be something that somebody learned in the natural world and they've seen it happen 10 times and this is what they've surmised as a fact. But the truth doesn't agree with a lot of facts. See, it may be a fact, a doctor may look at you and it may be a fact that you've been attacked with a certain disease and you have a certain amount of time. That may be what he has learned from his five natural senses, from his experience with this particular thing. But the truth of God says, by his stripes you were healed. See, that's completely different. But the truth is always more powerful than the facts. Now look at John chapter 14, verse 6. See, sometimes people get confronted with natural facts and they accept that as being a truth. And that's not right. That's not good. You should never do that. You know, you may see a fact, a natural fact from the world, but that does not equate to the truth. Verse 6 says, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now there's a truth. There's people running around saying we're all children of God. Well, no. If you didn't go through Jesus, you're not a child of God. And there are some people that say, no, we don't want anything to do with Jesus. We got Buddha. Or we got whatever. They're not a child of God. the only way to God is through the Son, and that's Jesus. Now, look at John chapter 1, verse 1. John chapter 1, verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." Now here's the thing. I read that verse over and over and over again, and I thought for the longest time that the darkness just couldn't understand the light. But that's not what it means. The darkness could not overtake the light. See, if you come into a room and it's dark, that means there's an absence of light. The minute you turn the light on, that darkness is expelled. So when you put truth into a situation, the darkness gets expelled. Jesus is the light of the world. The world lived in darkness until Jesus got here. And then His light dispelled the darkness. One guy said, "There's really no darkness, there's just absence of light." And the minute light shines into a dark room, that darkness goes away. Verse 14 goes on to say, "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So now we understand that Jesus is the Word. And the Word became flesh, dwelt among us. It's important to understand this. Jesus identified with us, so we must identify with Jesus. See, there's some people that like to run around and act like Jesus was all God on this earth. And it's important to understand Jesus is all God, 100%. It's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You can't separate them. But He laid His deity aside when He came down here. And He didn't do one miracle until He got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And in fact, He even told us, He said, "I only do what I see my Father do." So when He got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, He started doing the things that He seen His Father do. Now, look at John chapter 8. Verse 31. "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, If you continue in My word, then are you My disciples indeed." Now Jesus reveals Himself as the Word, the truth, and the life. And He tells us there is freedom in Him. The Word is truth. That's where our freedom is. See, a lot of people almost act like they're going to get freedom or healing or whatever it is they need, kind of like by osmosis. You know, they think, you know, I'll just show up to church and I'll hang around for a while and, you know, something's going to happen. Something will happen. You'll either get older or you'll get more revelation. But it's going to be your choice. And it's going to be up to you. Now, if you hear the Word and you receive it with faith, you look at the Word and you investigate it, you meditate on it, you feed on it, something big is going to happen. But if you just kind of hang around and act like a non-participant and don't take any action, then the chances are you're not going to get any action out of the Word. Now, John chapter 4, verse 23. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So, how will we, as true worshipers, worship Jesus and God of heaven, our Father, in spirit and in truth? Number one, we're going to have to find out what the Word says. We need to get a revelation of the Word. Literally, get a rhema word. I mean, we're going to have to look at that word and do what God says with it. You know, in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, he told us to meditate on the Word day and night. So when we find a word, when we find a verse in the Bible that strikes our heart, that catches our curiosity, it'd be good for you to just camp on that for a while and keep looking at it, keep reading it over and over and over again, meditate on it, you know, maybe memorize it and keep saying it over and thinking about it, pondering it. What happens is it changes you from the inside out, and then pretty soon you're going to understand it. Not up here, in here. See, there's things we can't wrap our minds around. But we believe it in our heart. We understand it in our heart. That means we have a revelation of it. John chapter 15, verse 7. Says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. So there's a key to answered prayer. By spending time with Jesus and spending time in his word, see, you can't separate Jesus and the word. If you're looking at Jesus, you're looking at the word. If you're looking at the word, you're looking at Jesus. You can't separate them. They're one and the same. But by spending time in his word and getting his word in you and letting his word abide in you, guess what's going to happen? You're going to start getting answers to prayers. That's pretty cool, isn't it? The second thing that we need to understand is we must believe the word over facts. You know, this is where the road, this is where the rubber's going to meet the road right here. We get bombarded with facts. We get bombarded with things people say. But this is definitely the way it's going to be. You know, there are people, if you listen to people out in the world, they're going to say this world is coming to an end. We're all done. We're going to have a nuclear war. We're all going to be wiped out. That doesn't agree with the Word of God. We got people that say, if you don't invest your money in the stock market and prepare yourself for retirement, you're going to starve. That's not in the Bible. In fact, Jesus told us not to store up treasures for ourselves on this earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break in and steal. He told us not to do that. You know, I was confronted one time, the company wanted me to invest in a 401k, and they said they'd match so much money, and that all I could think about was that. Don't store up for yourselves treasures on this earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. Well, No, I'm not going to do that. And they said, okay, it's your choice. And I said, okay. Well, you know, I ran into a guy in the oil field, and I was hooking up a truck, and he was over there helping me, and I said, what are you doing out here? And I said, you look like you should be retired. And he said, yeah, I was about ready to. And then Obama wiped out my 401k. He wiped it all out. It's gone. I said, just like that. He said, just like that. Now I'm working. And that's not the only person I ran into that went from being in a pretty good financial position to having, you know, it all gone, just in the blink of an eye. They had it stored up on this earth, and it just vanished. Look at Mark chapter 11, verse 22. Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Now, turn over to the Old Testament. In Mark chapter 23, or Numbers chapter 23, verse 9. And we're going to get confronted with something that we, you know, a lot of people say this, but they don't believe it. Numbers chapter 23, verse 9, I believe, 19, verse 19, says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and shall he not do it? Or has he spoken, and shall he not make it good? This right here is what we should be building our life on. God cannot lie. Now, people will agree with that all over, but they won't believe it. And how I know that is we can pray the prayer of faith, and they'll do anything but stand in faith. We can teach them how to give so that you can be replenished, and they'll do anything but give. They'll live their life in fear of not having enough because they don't truly believe that God said what he said, that what he would do what he said he would do. The number one thing we have to do in this area, we have to understand that God cannot lie. He cannot lie. If he said it, that's the way it is. The second thing we need to understand is that he cannot repent, which means he cannot change his mind. If he said that by his stripes you were healed, that is exactly the way it is. You're healed. It's up to us whether we receive it or not. As for God, he's already given it. He's already made it an established truth in this world. Now we have to decide whether we're going to believe the truth in the Word of God, or whether we're going to believe the facts that some man has learned in his experience. The third thing we need to understand is what he says He will do. There's a lot of prophecies. Well, actually, right now, there's a lot of prophecies that are being fulfilled right before our eyes. It's just, ever since the tetrad of four blood moons, this has been an amazing, this has just been an absolutely amazing time to watch prophecies being fulfilled. One right after another, just boom, 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 boom. And how the world has changed. You know, it was kind of doom and gloom when Obama got elected the first time. And then it was really doom and gloom when he got elected the second time. And then all of a sudden, this tetrad of four blood moons comes along. Boy, Obama was still the president. And I told you guys that when them four blood moons coincide with these Jewish feasts, amazing things have happened not only to the world, but specifically to America and Israel. Now, have we seen some amazing things since those tetrad of four blood moons? Trump got elected. That was an amazing thing. Israel is no longer elected, recognized as a nation. You can see some new truth on that. But they went bankrupt just like the United States did. And then there's just a whole bunch of other things that have happened during this tetrad of blood moon. You know, the Spanish Inquisition, that happened during a tetrad of blood moon. The creation of Israel, the new state, that happened during a tetrad of four blood moon. America happened during a tetrad of four blood moon. There's been a lot of great big things happen. See, one thing about Christians is they seem to be kind of spooky. You start looking at the stars, they say, ooh, you can't be doing that. Well, they need to understand that there's a difference between astrology and astronomy. And Jesus did say the Jews require a sign. He didn't tell us not to pay attention to what's going on in the stars and the sky and the moons and all that stuff. We need to pay attention to what's going on, because there's things happening in there that really directly affect us. And that doesn't have anything to do with worshiping a sun or a star or a moon or anything. But it does mean you're paying attention to what's going on in the sky. Now, the next thing we need to understand is that God will make His word good. If He said it, that's the way it is. He sent His word, and He will watch over His word to make sure that it gets performed on our behalf. He needs us to cooperate with Him a little bit, to receive His word. You know, He sent His word. He said, if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus back to life and confess with your mouth and that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. You know, a lot of people have heard that, but only the ones that received it, believed it, and acted on it will benefit from it. It takes a little bit of cooperation from us. Look at Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18 says, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, he might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before. See there? God cannot lie. He just can't. It's impossible for him to lie. Here's the thing. If God ever lied, he would have to bow his knee to the devil, because the devil is the father of lies. So if God or Jesus or Holy Spirit ever lied, they'd have to bow their knee to Satan, and that's just not going to happen. That confirms that God cannot lie. Now here's the thing for us to do. Look at Isaiah chapter 43 concerning his word. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 25. I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for thine own sake, and will not remember thy sin. Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. God is right there telling us to bring him to remembrance of his word. Do you suppose somehow he got forgetful? Maybe he's getting a little old and getting Alzheimer's? No, he told us to remind him of his word. That benefits us. For us to bring him to remembrance, we're going to have to look to him and say, Father, your word says that this, your word says that you would supply all my needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's what your word says. So that's what I'm resting upon. See how important it is to talk to God? When we go to him, we should be reminding him of his word. We should be returning his word to him. We need to take the word that he has given us and walk in that truth. Whenever you get confronted with a challenge or a problem, know immediately that there's already an answer. And that we need to take that answer and meditate on that answer till we get it in our heart, get it strong. Remind God of his word, which you're returning his word to him in prayer, and guess what happens? You actually have a collision of heaven on earth. You get an answer to your prayer. It changes your circumstances. Well, Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for everything that you do for us every day. We thank you that you are the truth. You are our light, and that we are guided. And it actually tells us that your word is a lamp unto our feet. You show us which way to walk, and you show us how to operate in this kingdom. And Father, we thank you that we are victorious in the name of Jesus. Amen. Happy Thanksgiving.